Adversity brings out my mastership. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you instant inspiration. Adversity brings out my mastership. You wonder sometimes why adversity would bring out our mastership, why adversity is, you know, even desirable, or that you even have it in your life. And of course you don't. But you think you do. And so therefore, you respond to it. Now, how do you respond to adversity? Adversity is when things are challenging, difficult, or something goes wrong or something like that and gives you a hard time. Now, how do you respond to things like that? Well, number one, you know, so I gave you a chance to answer me. Now, number one, we do not create that in our world. Well, you mean we have heaven on earth? We live in paradise. We live in a wonderful time with no adversity, no challenges and things like that. There is one challenge. And that's the challenge to think that we have to have adversity. If you think that this is the way life is, and it's life and it's death, that life is filled with problems, that every time you turn around, you're going to be challenged, then so it is. However, if you think the truth about yourself, that whatever you believe in your heart and your mind, that is what you experience, whatever is who you are, that's what you experience. Let's just take an example. We have Mr. Rich. What's his name?
Bill Gates.
Well, Bill Gates, yeah, he's our good example. Right. We have our Bill Gates. And what does Bill Gates do? Bill Gates does his work and plays with his family and enjoys his life and appoints people to take care of things that are not something that he wants to be concerned about. But he just enjoys himself. Now, do you think Bill Gates has a challenge now and then? The federal government got after him and wanted to rip him apart. And he went before the federal government and he said, here's a story. This is how we're working. Now, we're working totally harmonious with you. We have allowed your people access to many things, but we have many secret codes that we're not letting anybody get into, you know, because that's part of our business. But you have no right to them. You have no right to them. Nobody has any right to them, because that's our business. And so the federal government argued with Bill Gates back and forth, and Bill Gates, hey, that's our business. If you don't like it, I'll eat the code. You know? Nobody gets the code. And Bill Gates was not challenged. He was not threatened. He was not anything by the federal government because he knew he was right. He was acting according to the Constitution. And he lived according to the Constitution. He was doing everything according to the Constitution. And it's beautiful. Now, the Constitution makes a lot of promises for people and allows people to do things which could be devastating for the government and devastating for the world, but that's what it has to be. People who have the ideas that could be devastating for the world don't use them in a devastating way. They use them in a beautiful way. They use them in a harmonious way, a joyous way, an uplifting way. If they were to use them in a devastating way, they would destroy themselves. You wouldn't have to try to get people to destroy them, but they destroy themselves. Now, we look at the man like Hitler. He was a great guy. He did a lot of great things. He was a super mind, a brilliant person. He had a whole nation and so forth all following him. And he even conned the Jews into giving him the money to run his war, and then he put the Jews out of business, you know? I mean, you know, that's interesting. Now, because he went against his own principles, because he went against his own plan, he destroyed himself. Now, if he had maintained his plan to have Germany be the one nation on earth and all other nations were belonging to Germany as a nation, he would have been successful. He would have been successful because you can buy anything. You can buy anything. The Jews complained about the Wailing Wall in their homeland, and they go buy it. They go buy the land all around it. Everything's for sale. You know, there's never a problem. And they have all the money that they can use. And they could buy it if they want to. Now, the same goes for problems. If Bill Gates was suffering from a problem, he could go and buy it. You look at the Kennedys. They had so much money, they had problems, and they bought it. And one of the Kennedys drove his car into the bay, and his girlfriend drowned. and he comes out of there, and you know, he was obviously drunk when he did it. And then he went on to become senator and congressman and so forth, you know. And today he's still serving in the United States Senate. You know, you think to yourself, what is all this? You know, how does this work? Well, this is when you have money to buy yourself out of problems. And that's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Because you see, there are no problems. Because if you can buy your way out of it, there are no problems. Now, why is it that we create the problems in the first place? Why did he create himself being drunk, if he was, and driving the car off the road and into the creek, and she drowned, and he got out? Why did that happen? Well, we don't know the whys and wherefores, but we do know that he lived in his own attitude, and he was untouched by it. He was untouched and went right on to greater heights in the federal government. Now, how can that be? Well, it wasn't in his mind that he did something wrong. If he sincerely believed that he was going contrary to the rules, he couldn't have done it. You say, well, he did. He was drunk. How do you know he's drunk? How do you know that he had done anything wrong? How do you know that it wasn't just an accident? And are we held accountable for every accident? We should be, but we aren't. You see, adversity brings out my mastership. And the Kennedy, who had that experience, he brought out his mastership. And we say, well, yes, his money did. Yes, he brought out his mastership. We can complain and say, yes, his money did this and his money did that, but we have the same thing he had. And that's belief in ourselves if we want it. No matter how difficult a circumstance may be, if we want, we just place a new cause in motion about it. But, you see, the difficulty comes not in the cause, but in placing the cause. You see, if you believe you're guilty, you cannot be found innocent. And if you believe you're innocent, you can be found guilty, but you don't have to. You can be found guilty if you are innocent. But the thing is, he lived his life as though he were innocent. And because he lived it that way, everybody just began to react to him in that way, and re-electing him for office and everything else. You see, here is a whole nation of people who are supposed to be based on Christian principles, and they are allowing something like that to happen. And when I say something like that to happen, right away your mind says, he was guilty. You see? And he may never have been guilty. He may not have been guilty. He may have driven off the road, and she drowned when the car was in the ditch. But the thing is, the point is, he didn't believe he was guilty. And you sometimes believe people are guilty when they're not. Adversity brings out our mastership. People who are really innocent, you know they're innocent, because you look at them and they just are fantastic. People who are guilty, they oftentimes have a guilty look on them. But I mean, you can't take that. Because some of the best criminals in the world know how to handle lie detector tests and other things and get through them without being found guilty of anything at all. It's amazing. Adversity brings out my mastership. Now, what is my adversity? My adversity is just one thing. Remembering to say that I am God. Remembering to say that I am the creator of my world. Remembering to say that all is in divine order. That's my adversity. If I remember to say that, then I am the master of my adversity. If I do not remember to say that, then I have given myself over to my adversity and I am nothing. Nothing. As we spoke this morning, Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Let the person who is blameless in his life condemn another. And that goes for us too. When we are blameless in our life, how can we condemn ourselves? Oh, if I had only done this, if I had only... Hey, it happened. It's true. Every happening has a cause. But you cannot, you know, knock yourself down all your life because you goofed on some cause. You start over again. You let the past be past. But if you keep the past forward, if you keep the past in your present attention, then you are living and reliving and reliving the error that you think you had done. And that limits you so that you cannot be master of your adversity. And I would like to see all of us. We can take our adversity, if you like, and just release it. And it's gone. You say, that easy? Yeah. Because the adversity is the past. The adversity is the past. And it is something that is totally out of our world. It's totally out of our thinking. It has nothing to do with us whatsoever. And when we let it go like that and live in the present, first person, present tense, positive, we live in the present, then we are the master indeed. And this is true for all of us. And it starts right now. And it can be a little thing like getting blamed for something we didn't do, and then being blamed often enough and you feel guilty even though you didn't do it. And it's a silly thing. Or being praised for something you didn't do and liking the praise and saying yes, you know, and then eventually going and doing the thing that you're being praised for having done because you want to really have earned the credit even though it was premature. But you see, these are all parts of being master of yourself. All parts of living a fantastic, marvelous, dynamic life. And when we do that, miracles happen. Miracles happen. And they happen every day to everyone. Now, what miracle is happening in your life today? And yours. And yours and yours. And, Precious, you said to me, nothing bothers you. Right? Did you say that to me? Nothing bothers you? Nothing bothers you?
The most I heard this expression very often in the talk here.
I see. Okay. Then something bothers you. And I would say, what is the benefit? Is it better to get even and have revenge, or is it better to live in paradise and love?
In paradise and love.
Okay, then let's live in paradise and love. Let all of that other stuff go. By the way, it does not benefit us one little bit. All it does is make the bile and the juices of our body boil and tear us to pieces. I know of a man who died recently. And the doctors did research into him, you know, and they said, oh, what a mess. He had all these problems because he was worried, he was anxious, he was concerned, and he was sick, and he had all these things, and he didn't take care of himself. He just was worried to pieces. He was worried to death, and he died. See, we don't always look on the outside as bad as we are on the inside. We can be rotten as sin. And that's not very comfortable. So let's always live in paradise. And remember that nothing is worth being angry about. If you think that the war is terrible and you're angry about it, you only help the war be more terrible. If you think the war is terrible and you say, all is at peace now, all is in harmony now, there's peace on earth and it began with me, you see, then you're putting a cause in motion to bring that peace forth. I find it charming. Many people are attracted to the day of peace, the day of love, the day Father's Day, or church, Sunday, you know. What a bunch of a nonsensical thing. Sunday is 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Father's Day is 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Mother's Day, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Grandparents' Day, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And Valentine's Day, what's Valentine's Day?
No.
You don't know Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Valentine's, yeah.
What is, all right, you tell me, what's Valentine's Day?
The day of lovers.
It's the day that sweethearts tell each other that they love each other. And little children give cards to their friends, and other people give cards and bring candy, and they bring big hearts and things like that filled with rich candy and what have you. And it's just a matter, it's a day of saying,
I love you.
Yeah, but it's a day of saying to someone very precious to you how much they mean to you. And it should be everybody, like unconditional love. But now, wouldn't it be nice to take Valentine's Day and have it 24 hours of the day, all every day of the year? Wouldn't it be nice? And then go a step further and not just love a person or somebody's, like your family or something, but unconditionally love everyone. Wouldn't that be a fabulous thing to do, to unconditionally love everyone? Could you do that? Wouldn't it be fun to work on it? Boy.
To work on it, yes.
Yeah, to work on it, yes. But it is wonderful. Adversity brings out my mastership. And we are now working on our mastership by being loving and unconditionally loving. It's the greatest thing in the world. You guys are great. I love you very much. And I see everything in your life blossoming more beautifully than you ever dreamed possible. I love you. I love you. I love you.